This episode is brought to you by Entrust Data Card, now offering a webinar series on creating more secure online interactions with your citizens while broadening the range of services that you can offer using strong identity authentication and digital signing technologies. Learn more at entrustdatacard.com. Welcome to AnvaCast, bringing news, information, and expertise to the Anva community. Here's your host, Ian Grossman. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the AnvaCast. I'm very excited today. Our very special guest that I want to introduce you all to is Colonel Melissa Zebley of the Delaware State Police. Colonel, welcome to the AnvaCast.
Thank you, Ian. I appreciate the opportunity.
And I guess I have to kick off by saying congratulations and how exciting to be able to address you as Colonel. Not all of our listeners may know that this is a relatively new development for you and the state of Delaware.
Yes, it's obviously a tremendous honor, very humbling opportunity, and certainly proudly representing the fine women and men of the Delaware State Police. Certainly much to be accomplished, so we're off and running, as they say.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting. But even though 3 or 4 weeks as colonel, no stranger to the agency and the background of law enforcement. How long have you been with the Delaware State Police?
I am in my 29th year with the State Police. I am a lifelong Delawarean, so my track record with the agency dates all the way back to high school, wherein I got to be a Delaware State Police explorer as a young person. So I was exposed to the agency and what troopers do day in and day out, and that only furthered my interest through college. And I had the fortune to be hired right after I finished college, and I have enjoyed every opportunity I've had to serve. Very diverse career, and that has led me to this opportunity. So it's been a lifelong journey that I'm tremendously proud of.
Wow. Is that program still in existence, that Explorer program?
It is. Our Trooper Youth program is excellent, and I love to go out and speak to those young people and sort of demonstrate that I'm a success story, I hope, for the program, and that, you know, if you continue to stay your course and stay disciplined and follow the expectations you have of yourself and we have of you, that this career will be there for you on the other end of your education.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I'd love to see a video of the reaction of those explorers seeing someone that's gone all the way through that journey to the very top slot of colonel. Are you the first that has gone from explorer to colonel through that entire life cycle?
In recent history, yes, but I wouldn't want to exclude anyone that has sure. served in that way. I'm presently the 26th colonel, so I don't know if those that I haven't worked more directly with have been a product of that affiliation.
But you are the first in another category for Delaware, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I am the first woman to serve as colonel. So it's a tremendous honor for me to represent the women and men of this agency. And as we talk about often, you know, illustrate that for anyone, everything is possible. And as much as we like to showcase the women and men throughout our agency and highlight those who have done that thing for the first time. Each time that happens, they're at some point won't be first, but in this case it is, and I'm tremendously proud to be that person.
Well, that's fantastic. The Delaware could not be more fortunate than to have you as breaking that mold and being the first and leading the agency. And I speak from experience saying that, because we've been really fortunate that you are not new to the AMVA community. You have been involved for a number of years now, including recently finishing your service as the chair of our Law Enforcement Standing Committee.
Yes, I have enjoyed a great affiliation with AMVA. It started in 2013. As one of my designated units under my command as an operations major was our statewide traffic section. And shortly thereafter, through the support of then Colonel McQueen, made the connection with Brian Ursino and went to the AIC in Arizona and sat through the workshops and learned a tremendous amount about the issues that were impacting both law enforcement and DMV across the country and in Canada, and had the great benefit to bring back with my, to my agency, and never let that relationship cease from that point forward. And that grew further to the opportunity to serve on the Law Enforcement Standing Committee, and then within the last year and a half serve as the chair of that committee, which has been a fantastic honor and a great opportunity to meet colleagues from around the country and share ideas, best practices, and all that ANBA provides. So it's been a great asset in my career and certainly in my evolution that leads me to this new role.
Tell me a little bit more about how you were able to leverage that ANBA involvement back home in Delaware. I have no doubt there are folks listening to us chatting right now, perhaps fellow law enforcement officers of yours, trying to understand the best way to engage with ANBA, get the knowledge they need to make their work at home more effective and more efficient. There's no shortage of resources out there in the world these days. Tell me in your eyes how you found the value of ANBA from a law enforcement perspective, bringing that back home to Delaware.
Great question. And I can say right from that first AIC I attended in Arizona, and quickly and swiftly was able to meet colleagues from my own state that I had never met until I traveled to Arizona to meet them. So,
so you went all the way there to meet some neighbors.
To meet folks who work, you know, maybe 5 miles from me. So just leverage it. And you know, you're sitting in town hall, so you quickly connect. To use the ANBA terminology, but those quick connections you make with people from your neighboring states, but within your state, and you're hearing issues impacting across your region. And undoubtedly, if they haven't hit your radar yet, they soon will. So you're quickly collaborating with those folks. And we were easily able to bring back and partner in meetings with our DMV colleagues about a myriad of issues related to licensing, mobile driver's license for issue is, for example, is a great issue that we forecasted was heading our way, and got on the front foot of that, and were able to form a working group collaboratively as law enforcement and DMV to pilot a program. So we were not removed from that conversation. So that was a blueprint from early on with my relationship with ANBA, that I could be better connected in my home state. And certainly the opportunity to work with my colleagues in the region was instrumental in making connection points on resources. We've had critical incidents here in Delaware, and we needed a resource from a neighboring state like Maryland, and the individual bringing it was someone I met at ANBA. So it's, you know, very multifaceted. So to include in days such as this, where you don't have the opportunity to be face-to-face with folks, connecting with the information on the website, finding model policies and best practices, if that's something affecting your agency, that's accessible to you as well. So it's afforded a lot face-to-face and virtual connections to stay informed about issues, frankly, facing all of us.
So when you think about those issues, and you talked about how it impacts your agency and certainly in the current situation, your long career with the state police, I'm sure you, as you came up through the ranks, perhaps had a vision for the future of the Delaware State Police that may or may not have to be shifted in light of the current environment. Will you share with us, you know, perhaps now that you're in that role as colonel, what is that vision for the Delaware State Police as you move forward? And is it altered or changed or tweaked in any way because of the nature of the world right now?
Well, again, great question. And frankly, we are in the people business. That is what we do. So even while maybe disconnected in a way that pertaining to the pandemic, we've been sensitive to that and had to not only shore up what the safety measures for our own folks, but those who interact with law enforcement for a variety of reasons. So, recognizing some things have to occur in a distance environment. One of the most readily impacted environments was our training academy, which is a residential style academy. So we had to make some quick modernizations to how we teach and train recruits. But some of that is absolutely face-to-face, hands-on, active learning, scenario-based events. So our goal in saying all that is to not lead exclusively in this moment, to lead in this moment with current challenges, be it the pandemic or issues surrounding civil unrest, but to lead past it and well into the future so that we are always demonstrating our best to the public. So that, you know, our mission is to make sure, I mentioned training, that our folks are always, we're bringing the right people in the door, we're training them appropriately, we're providing them with strong policies, and we are training them on leadership habits and practices so that we always enjoy a high level of public trust. So our goal, as I said, is to lead through this moment and the challenges we face, but lead well beyond it. So we're always demonstrating the best of ourselves to the public that we serve.
And in that vision, you mentioned earlier an example of being involved in AMVA and working on the MDL project, of which the Delaware DMV was one of the first adopters to go out and really try to experiment with it. Tell me how your vision expands in terms of the relationship with the DMV. So much, as you know from the Law Enforcement Committee, so much of what we talk about in the AMVA world is bridging that relationship between the state police side and the motor vehicle side, of which you've been a critical part in Delaware. So take us to that vision of that partnership between the DMV in Delaware and your new role in Colonel and what you see the future there holds.
It's critical, right? So we obviously, highway safety, driver safety is paramount in our mission. We are a full service agency, but we bear the biggest responsibility for the safety of our motorists and our communities and our visitors to our state. So that leveraging that relationship and those that are forged through AMVA will be ever critical going forward. The MDL is a perfect illustration, where because of those conversations we had in town hall meetings, we decided that a better version of that would be to pilot this together, to have scenarios of roadside car stops and test the Bluetooth capabilities of the MDL along with our technology, and really watch that improve over the course of a year. So that it wasn't just a rollout on one person's behalf without a true measure of how it will impact the law enforcement community, so that we can then in turn market that together. And I think, you know, in this era, the MDL will be more highly coveted because it is, you know, sort of a no-touch display of your credentials. So I think it will only gain greater traction in the community where it may not have a year ago. So we want to be in that conversation. And these relationships have afforded us the chance to do that so that the technology meets the infrastructure of a police department, not just mine, but the others, and that we can get that to its best understood platform and then market that to the community together. And we enjoy a great relationship with Secretary Cohen, who is formerly had a role within AMVA, as you well know, and in her time brought the AIC to our small state of Delaware. So that relationship is strong, and we want to take that blueprint and use it in other dimensions that impact licensing and driver safety to demonstrate having a conversation and piloting things before there's a rollout that it will impact either side of the conversation.
So talk to me more about the driver safety piece. You mentioned traffic safety a couple of times and protecting drivers. And in all our visions and missions, really at the end of the day, it's about saving those lives and keeping people safe on the roads and elsewhere. Share with us the challenges in Delaware. I suppose they're probably not unique to Delaware. But what's happening in the traffic safety world that you're really trying to tackle?
Yeah, as you said, probably not much different than others, but a few things we always have on our horizon. You know, obviously reducing fatal collisions. We've seen spikes with regard to fatal collisions in the pedestrian and motorcycle dimensions. So that's a great opportunity to partner with our DMV and really message about pedestrian safety, focus on education as opposed to enforcement. Our Office of Highway Safety, to really dialogue with the community about the significance and safety measures they can take, and until ultimately maybe it's a matter of enforcement, but we try to do those components first. And that has, as you can imagine, in a small state, those numbers can really show, if increased, can show significant increases versus larger states. So with a, you know, an interstate rolling through our small state and some other highly traveled roadways, we certainly want to be on the front foot of showing the areas of increase we're experiencing in terms of significant injury-related crashes. And they have been great partners for us. And the population demand has grown significantly in Delaware. Could be attributable to our tax structure here, and our fine state. And, you know, we are very diverse from top to bottom and have a beach community that a lot of folks have elected to retire to. But that said, right, it's a significant impact on our population that impacts, you know, all the way across the board, and driver services, roadway demand, and the impact on policing are among them, I should say. And we always dialogue about that too. So it's helpful to, that certainly impacts our DMV, right, and the demand on their services. So we talk about those things frequently, and we have made a commitment to meet quarterly and just roundtable about things more broad than that, and just with our Office of Highway Safety, our DLDOT and DMV, and the state police sitting at the table and really looking at the issues that, you know, maybe are causing spikes in fatalities or serious crashes, the impact of substance abuse on driving, and then are there infrastructure changes to our roadways that will be critical in terms of reducing those types of crashes. So we have a great relationship. We're a small state, but for that reason, we make a concerted effort to have those conversations.
Being a small state, not unlike the numbers so dramatically impacting maybe a swing in percentage, I know a lot of the conversation that you and your colleagues are having right now, not only on the law enforcement side, but it's the same conversation on DMV and really all of state government, is that of the budget cycle and resources and the challenge in the pandemic of having the same resources available. Is that presenting any particular challenges to you in Delaware, or are you fortunate? You mentioned the tax structure there. I'm curious to how that, you know, maybe rolls down.
Well, I think all of us in state government will have to, you know, as we work forward and really dissect the financial impacts of the pandemic on our state. We're, you know, smaller, but maybe not like others in terms of what we would have traditionally experienced. I mentioned our beach community, you know, that may drive a lot of financial rewards they see for a whole year just in a small beach season. So, you know, we will have to be ever mindful going forward of how that's impacted the state as a whole, and be, you know, this might not be the year to get all the things you were expecting, but be very judicious about the things that we absolutely need. And I'm sure we're all having those conversations across state government, because, you know, there's certain key things that you certainly can't do without. And, you know, we're ever mindful of that. And we like to have those conversations across, you know, all disciplines. So I think it'll be a little bit more of a longer period of time to fully understand the financial implications that we have all incurred as a result of it.
Absolutely. So on a lighter note, because you've mentioned the beach now a few times, and you are a lifelong Delawarean, are you a beach person? Is that something that you like to do?
Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Time? We have a multitude of beach communities. I grew up in the northern part of our state. I say that tongue in cheek. We're 2 hours top to bottom. But I grew up in our northern county, my parents enjoy a residence in the southern part of our state in the beach community. So I visit them as often as possible, and certainly enjoy all the amenities of our beach community. They're great. I encourage, we get, as I mentioned, a ton of visitors, more than we perhaps have had this year, but they're, you know, a great place to visit and a great reason to come to our state.
So you've seen actually, you normally see more visitors. You have seen a drop off on the beach traffic, and I guess even some of maybe the traffic incidences going to and from the beach.
Well, most of the beach communities may perhaps have their own police department. But in saying that, yeah, I would say that, you know, there have been less visitors, less, it just because of percentage of business that restaurants per se can take in under current conditions, right? So they may be enjoying less business than traditionally the case. I think the interest is certainly there, but people are being mindful of the restrictions on both sides of the equation, the citizen and the business owner in that way. So, which is a good thing because, you know, we want to shorten the curve and keep people healthy. So I would say there have been less, and hopefully, you know, as we get our arms around what's happening, we can restore that going forward. But throughout this beach season, yes, that has been certainly less than we traditionally have.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I count myself in that category. We try to take at least one trip a summer out to your beautiful Delaware beaches, and we just weren't able to do it this year for all those reasons, many which were, you know, the restrictions around the beach and other restrictions of lodging. So hopefully by next summer, again, I'll be
I
back in that camp.
I look forward to it. I will keep my eyes out
to the
for
Delaware
you.
Beaches. And I Can't say I would be unhappy about knowing that I know how to reach the colonel if needed. Not that I ever, you know, need that kind of help.
I would gladly take your call.
It's always good to know who to call. Well, Colonel, thank you so much for joining us for some time today. We're really excited for you, for the entire state of Delaware, to be taking on this new role. We will very much miss you as the chair of our Law Enforcement Standing Committee, but we know that is only a transition to what's going to hopefully be some more and different and exciting involvement with the AMVA community over the coming years.
Thank you, and I certainly hope that to be the case as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of the AMVAcast. I want to thank our producer, Claire Jeffrey, and we will see you next time. Have a great one, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for AMVAcast, hosted by Ian Grossman, produced by Claire Jeffrey, music by Gibson Arthur. This episode has been brought to you by Entrust Data Card. Visit us at amvacast.podbean.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify.